100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Paul Andrews.
Hello. You got. Stop throwing me spit guard about.
I don't like them. I've never liked them, and I don't like them.
I've just finished washing that.
So I got my Merc back.
Have you?
After 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I got used to the BMW. I really was loving the BMW, the Beamer.
Right.
And, he wants to take a picture. Sorry. Hello, Darren.
She stopped while she poses. Sorry. Yeah.
And so I got the new car back. Couldn't remember how to drive that, spent 3 weeks.
No change there then.
Eventually started to drive, and of course the old sensors, they've sprayed over the sensors. That's what they've done.
Sprayed over it?
Sprayed over them, so they don't bleep anymore.
Well, didn't they put on a new panel?
They've put on a new panel.
Well, that would be why the sensors don't work.
Why? Well, what happened?
Well, because the sensors are on the back of the panel, so they haven't put sensors back.
Yeah, but they're denying it.
Yeah, well, of course they are.
They're denying it.
Yeah.
So now we have to have an independent sensor advisor coming round to inspect. Right. But the new husband is like a hawk. He's going through their voicemails where they did phone and say the sensors aren't working, and he's sure it was before they did the repair. So he's going through like a hawk.
Oh, right. So
all their voicemails.
So what you're saying, they were damaged in the accident?
No, I think that they noted that they did some sort of check and found that they weren't working. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe after the repair. I don't know. Anyway, the new husband said this morning, but I was too busy scoffing. Did you see my breakfast?
I did see your breakfast.
Did you like it?
I didn't eat it, did I?
No, poached eggs.
Yeah.
This morning. Unusual, because normally we fry them, as you know, in coconut oil.
That is disgusting.
It is delicious.
It's disgusting.
Poached this morning with mashed avocado, very shishi, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
And then bits of nice organic bacon all crunched up in the middle, which was just, avo and bacon. I could never be a vegan. Sorry if you're a vegan and you're listening. But avo and bacon, that combo. And then a few sun-dried tomatoes popped in as well.
A bit
of the old vitamin C.
Yeah, did you have a snack while you were cooking it?
I had a little snack and a cup of tea, a cup of Cornish.
Right.
I see that Darren has brought in mince pies. Is it too early?
Darren, who's our first guest on, Darren Wheel of Inchin PR. Yeah, he had his little sandwich box there as well, I noticed.
I like that. I love a sandwich.
What did you have in your sandwiches, Darren?
I had cheese, jalapenos, and mayo.
Jalapenos.
Oh, very chic.
I ate a whole jar of jalapenos with my chili last night.
With what you actually put
we're
into
in a small room with you.
Yeah, exactly. I was just warning you.
Explosive.
Yeah.
So you added extra to your chili?
Yeah. Amanda cooked a chili.
Jalapeno.
And I had a jar of jalapenos, which I ate with my chilies.
Oh.
With my, chili con carne.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But you add more. Do you stir them in, or do you have them on the side?
I just have them in the jar and get a fork and eat them.
Do you remember the Chinese ones I bought you?
I do.
Yeah, they were hot.
No, they were lethal.
You went puce.
Yeah, well, you scraped that off of a street side in Wuhan, didn't you?
Yeah, somewhere like that. Yeah, it was a bit dodgy.
It was well dodgy.
It was. Darren, I didn't bring my sandwiches, but because I had eggs for breakfast, I bought in some almonds for my snack home.
Sorry, what is the link to that? I didn't have eggs for breakfast, so I bought almonds.
No, I did have eggs for breakfast.
Still food and drink.
I did have eggs for breakfast.
Right.
And I'm alluding, in fact, to Darren's lovely sandwiches. And I said...
Did they have almonds in?
Well, no, normally I have a little boiled egg
He had cheese and jalapenos or something.
Yeah, because he's got a cold.
What's that got to do with almonds?
Well, what I'm saying is, instead of my little boiled egg, which I'm known for coming in on the bunker, little boiled egg in a jar, I've got some almonds... And a energy ball, homemade energy ball. It's not homemade by me, though. It's by a little Polish lady.
You stole that off a bird table.
It's handmade.
That's a sparrow ball.
Ready for the tweets.
Fat ball.
Yeah.
It's handmade by a little Polish lady in Barnes, and they're very nice, and she won't give me the recipe. So I'm going to scoff that on the way home.
I hang those out for my... For my blue tits.
Oh, you want to get some jumpers and vests on that?
You've got
blue tits.
Yeah.
Well, I got your Mexican squirrels on BBC Radio London.
I know, I saw, yeah.
Oh.
You did?
They were talking about we like to have unusual animal encounters, particularly squirrels, and so I rang in about Mexican squirrels.
And did they like it?
Yes, they were very impressed. They had heard of the cayenne cure to your invasive squirrels.
Oh, they had?
Yeah, but they didn't like the fact it didn't work for Paul.
No, and he's bought a slippery pole as well.
Yeah, I did, but it didn't work.
Every man should have one.
I spend quite a lot on all. I just now, because I feed my birds, I've now bought bird cleaning equipment to clean the, not the birds, but to clean
bird
the...
Bird cleaning equipment. You're going to give your ski goals a rub down.
The little...
Don't they squawk a lot when you try and put, you know, try and put a flannel in their ear and stuff?
I'll tell you what, we've got the Inwood property coming later. I bet you can't wait after this standard of repartee.
I certainly don't have anything to report,
mate. Property, you could talk about the seagull barriers. You know, those prongs. My new neighbour next door, but 2 years, pots of money, darling, pots of money. And they've put everything up. It's like the work has been going on. They've got every contractor going with all these posh contractors. And they've put up loads of the seagull stuff. You know, those metal spike things.
We don't have that problem in Orpington, to be fair, where
do
I'm based.
Not,
no,
do they not go that far?
They do, but not. It's not a large-scale problem, put it that way.
Yeah, well,
certainly not.
We get people that park outside and feed them, and then they go all over our cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what about the seagulls?
Yeah, that too. And as I've just had my car done, it's all shiny and new and lovely. Yeah. How long will it stay like that?
Yeah, you don't want people down from London doing it all over your cars,
I
do
know,
you?
Not DFLs.
Yeah, not when you just cleaned it.
So John Nurden, as I was saying off air, has a chat at the Horsebridge this Thursday in Whitstable. John Nurden was the editor of the Whitstable Times, Canterbury Times. Kent Online, I think it is, off the top of my head.
KM, yeah.
No, not KM, the other one. It was Kent Online. It was not the KM. It was the Whitstable Times. Very different, darling.
Oh, well, I thought they were a KM title.
No.
Okay.
No, he then went to work for the KM,
but
not as an editor. So I used to write the business column for the Whitstable Times, Faversham Times.
Hmm.
Anyway, long story short, he's now doing, must be like 30 years of his favourite wheezes over the years.
Did Whitstable Mum and Custard Shortage make the clap?
I'm sure it will, but, you know, I want to go, and it's... the night I'm where you are on Thursday.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Why is everything always the same day?
Oh, I don't know. Ian's looking nonplussed. Explain Whitstable Mum and Custard Shortage.
Google it.
So I certainly will.
I went down to my local shop. You know I'm a fan of a local independent. But we only had a co-op. And I was shocked, Ian, shocked to find that they had no Bird's Custard. And they said, well, we've got our own brand, co-op. I said, no, I want Bird's. And they said, no, we don't, but we could get it in for you. And I was furious because I was doing an apple crumble for the family. And it was around March, and, you know, the morale was low in March. It was windy, it was rainy, it was dank, it was dark. So I wanted to make apple pie and custard and crumble and custard and all, you know, plums and things. So I marched off and I rang John Nurden and Roger Casper, who were at the Whitstable Times, and I was furious. My hands went on my hips, and I said, if we had an independent shop, he would have got it in for me same day. He said, Jules, come back in an hour and I'll get you some Bird's Custard. And he wouldn't have fobbed me off with another brand, co-op brand. And so I was incensed. And then the whole story went global, Whitstable Mum in Custard Shortage. I think I was the first person ever to go viral before viral was a thing.
Yeah.
And I still, and there's a book about it now by Penguin with front cover Whitstable Mum with a dog peeing on the banner that says Whitstable Dog, which was done by a local graphic designer. And I still...
Was it Ken? Did Ken do
it? No, it wasn't Ken. Oh, okay. It was another guy that was in my road, Tony. Can't remember his surname. No, it should have been Ken, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
But long story short, I got marriage proposals from Australia, America. Australia said, geez, you know, she makes her crumbly. Well, I'd like to marry her and all this. And it went, I was on all these radio stations. It was, I think it was front page of the, it knocked, what was her name with the lips? Jordan.
Yeah.
It knocked her off the front page.
There we are. Who needs Tinder?
Yeah. Because everybody,
just do that.
Everybody loves custard, don't they?
Yeah.
They
to be fair.
Whitstable Mum and Custard Shortage.
Yeah. Google it. It'll still come up. And so Penguin then found me and said, can we send you some books? And they'd written a book of the weirdest
headlines, isn't it?
Yeah. But John Nurden is now doing a talk on Thursday at the Horsebridge. If anybody's listening, it's a fiver to go. It will be a great, great evening. And I hope he's recording it, because I would like to know if I do.
He should make a podcast of it, really, shouldn't he?
He should, yeah. So when's he opening his mag?
He's still plotting it at the moment.
He's been plotting it for 25 years.
He was. I was talking to him on Saturday night at the Island Works, because it was the AGM of the Dockyard Trust, and he was there, and he was saying, I'm going to do it. I've been talking about it for a long time. I'm going to produce a magazine for the island, a glossy magazine.
Glossy. And I'm no doubt your thingy bob, Island Works, will be there.
I'm sure it will. Yeah. I expect to be on the front cover.
I've seen lots of pictures popping up of the lovely, lovely...
Have you seen the ones at night?
No.
I just published a load of it lit up at night. It looks very nice.
Ghosts and things.
No, I haven't got ghosts.
Yeah, I bet there's a ghost on there.
Nah.
When's Tracy's art?
The 25th of November.
I need to ring her about that. I've got. I want to get on there, but I haven't.
There's only a couple of spaces left, so I'll book it quite quickly.
I'm only quite slim. I can squeeze in.
I've upgraded a room. Because I heard you was coming, so I've given her a treble-sized room.
You was?
I heard you were coming, so I gave her a you missed that, didn't you?
No, I'm
gonna
correcting
your grammar. I'm going to do that joke again, because it's so horrible that you need to...
I'm correcting your grammar.
Yeah.
You said you was. And you know that gets my goat.
I is. In it. I is, innit?
You can't compare on Thursday night and say you was.
It's Bromley, love.
Oh.
They wouldn't understand anything, but...
I thought they were posh in Bromley.
Well, I do live in Bromley.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I'll risk my case.
No, I think Bromley's very posh, isn't it? Isn't it Bromley by Bow?
No, that's in East London.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
But anyway, it's still posh, Bromley.
Yeah. Yeah, bits of it.
Beckenham?
Yeah.
Is that posh?
Yeah.
Well, there's bits of Bromley we can't get into with a gated estate, so that's posh enough.
That would be posh enough.
Yeah, that is posh.
Yeah, but it's still not Bromley by Bow.
I think Neville lives there, does he? Lives Neville Gorn?
He lives in Bexley.
Oh, he's got a very nice house.
Yeah, it's still South London, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know that Shay and Mimi are actually in
South London, in Greenwich,
Well, it's Deptford, really, but they call it Greenwich.
Yeah, Greater Greenwich.
So they've actually... Do you remember we talked about
this,
Ian, last time?
Yeah.
They've got the penthouse now.
Oh, brilliant.
Penthouse, darling.
Yeah.
So they've got a big terrace, two bedrooms, one for me, of course,
very
when
nice.
I nip up. And it's sixth floor, so that's not too high. It's the top floor, of course. And, they've got the decorators in this week. Adrian. Hello, Adrian. He will be there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for some snagging. And then their bed is being delivered on Saturday. And all you need is the bed, isn't it? They haven't got anything else.
Then you're in.
All you need is a bed.
Absolutely. Right. We need to start this show, because we're already quarter of the way through it and we haven't started yet.
Yeah.
I've got a tweet from Tracy Ferguson.
Are we doing cheesy tunage or not?
In a minute.
Well, you can't start tweeting before cheesy tunage. There's a rhythm to this show, Paul Andrews.
And we always do tweets before cheesy tunage.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We've only been doing it 15 years. Yeah. Why would you know what's going on?
I have never, ever remembered that. But then I only had one lion's mane this
Kel
morning.
Kel shocked.
No, yeah. I only had one lion's mane this morning. That's what affected me. One lion's mane for the brain.
You've had a nice lolly.
No, not made. Lion's
you
mane.
You said you had a lion's mane.
Lane mane. Rawr.
You've eaten a lion.
A lion's mane is a mushroom. I wonder if that's what's in your garden.
I don't know.
Send me a picture.
I'll try, but I've deleted the picture.
You haven't?
Yeah, but I tweeted you and tagged you in it.
Yeah, I don't see that any of my mentions or tweets, because
Tracy Ferguson has tweeted.
He shadow bans me.
And she says, looking forward to tuning in live today and hearing from both Ian and Darren. It was great to meet Darren of Intune PR at one of Paul's 30-30 events, and also at the Women in Business Big Show. Were you with the big women, were you?
I was with a perfectly proportioned woman in the shape of Sarah Marsh Collins, yes.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I'm not going to use the word big. I know where my...
So you were at the Big Women Show. No, the Women in Business Big Show. She says, I'm looking forward to hearing more about him and about Ian's businesses. So looking forward to listening.
And Zeenat Narani has tweeted in, as we're doing tweets now, before cheesy tunage, which apparently we've always done. I don't remember. She says, oi... in a very rough way, I think. I don't speak like that. I'm posh, she says, and I'm a Bromley gal. But she says, oi. So that's not posh, is it?
No, it's not. She's schmoozing you, isn't she? Yeah.
But I get emails now saying, hey, which really gets my goat.
Are they from horses?
It should be, shouldn't it? It's just awful. Hey, Jules, they don't even know me.
Talking of Zeenat, Let's talking of Zenat.
Oh, yeah, you're on her show.
I'm on Zenat's radio show this Friday. Yeah. Mindset Matters with Zenat Noorani, 10:30 until 12. And guest is me for some obscure reason.
What are you chatting about?
I've no idea. I haven't got there yet.
You're not winging it again, are you?
As if I would.
Well.
Don't worry, Paul. I'll provide you a comprehensive brief.
Will you? Thank you.
You need a script.
Bearing in mind that the night before, I'm comparing the Above and Beyond Bromley Business Awards, the Abba-ba-ba-bas.
And I'll be there.
And you've wheedled your way in there as well.
I'm going to heckle you.
Obviously.
Yeah.
It could be interesting to...
Well, what's even more interesting is that because it had some reference to ABBA, I assumed I had to go dressed as
ABBA. You were going
ABBA.
As Bjorn, weren't
that
you?
That would have been so embarrassing. Can you imagine if I'd have rolled up looking like a Bjorn?
Yeah, but nobody would have noticed, would they?
Well, I always look like that.
Amazing,
yeah.
With your flares and your cheesecloth shirt.
Yeah, my spangles, spangly things. But how embarrassing. So I double-checked, luckily. Because you think if it was an ABBA thing, where are they getting this idea from beyond ABBA?
I've told you a dozen times. It shows you how she doesn't listen.
Well,
doesn't
I try
it?
Not to.
Let me go again.
Yeah.
It's ABBA Bubba. Yeah. Which is Above and Beyond Bromley Business Awards. ABBA Bubba.
So nothing to do with ABBA?
It's absolutely nothing to do with ABBA, the Swedish pop group Waterloo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My.
So I would have looked awful if I'd arrived.
No, it would have been fun.
Yeah. What are you wearing? Black tie?
A dinner suit.
Penguin.
Yeah, of course I am. I'm working.
Just going to look like a penguin.
I'm management, aren't I? I'm working.
I don't know. I've got to get my dresses.
I'm front the door.
Most of my evening dresses have got bits of cocktail spilt on them and, like, you know, bits of vol-au-vent.
Pre-readied.
Yeah. Especially when you go to a Bloomberg thing because they have these really lovely, really beautiful little hors d'oeuvres. But you're talking, aren't you? You're networking and they spray all over you and all over your dress.
Chips and Dinks have tweeted. They said, we'll have to catch up later.
Something about damp.
Yeah, dealing with mould and damp in a property today. We can talk to Ian about that later, can't we?
Yeah.
And not one of his properties, obviously. But
no.
All hands on deck for Bev's new company, Building My Business. Please wish me luck. Good luck to both you, Bevs. Hope you all have a great show. Well, thank you to the two Bevs. That's Bev from Chips and Dinks who tweeted that, and her new business is with Bev's Glass Art.
Yes.
That's not easy to say.
No. I'm glad you said it so...
Yeah.
Perfectly.
You can read one more if you like, and then we'll do Cheesy Tunage.
Tracy Ferguson, have you read that?
Yeah.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
I'll read it better. So she says, tuned in, and you can follow her on Tazy64 with a Z, and she is the owner of Plucky's World. She starts conversations. She supports self-awareness. She's a personal growth trainer and a mentor. And her website is pluckiesworld.com, and that's Plucky with a Y-S, pluckiesworld.com. And she's also going to be at your gaff in Sheppey doing her art, as we alluded to.
She's doing a craft workshop on the 25th of November at Island Works, Garrison Road, Sheerness. There are a couple of places left only, so do get in if you want to be on that, and I think you do want to be on that. Best thing to do is follow her on Twitter, Tazzy64, T-A-Z-I-6-4. And you can find the booking link on her Twitter handle.
And Sarah Marsh Collins. Had you finished?
I said one.
Yeah, but I've got, you know,
You're doing the second.
Yeah, I've got the bit between my teeth. Sarah Marsh Collins has said a great lineup on the Bee Bunker show. She's rightly used the Bee Bunker hashtag. She says, Ian's business journey is quite the tale. Quite the tale, Ian. He's a remarkable young man. And Dazzle,
that's him,
which is him, yes, PR, has some cracking PR tales to tell. She's written takes, but I haven't got my glasses on.
That's
anyway,
what she meant.
Oh, takes, not tales. Oh, okay. Oh, so she's done tales and takes. That's clever, isn't it? I've got my glasses.
I just want to remind people, she decided to read that because she could read it better than me, is what she said.
No,
wasn't
I
it?
Read the Tracy Ferguson book.
She said, I can read better than you.
Yeah.
And then she...
Well,
made a mess of it.
I actually don't have my glasses because I didn't ever need
glasses.
And
now she's making excuses.
I didn't ever need glasses.
Right. Have you got ears?
Two.
Right.
Cheesy Tunage.
How's your 100% acid jazz knowledge?
Well, I know a little bit of jazz, but with the acid?
Acid jazz.
Is it?
This is Cheesy Tunage.
Oh, I know that. That's I'm gonna rat you out. Well, I know the version by the drumming people.
It's tune in, turn out, crop out.
Oh, well, the riff is
by Freak Power.
Oh.
That famous track.
Yeah.
Tune in, see what I did there. Turn on, cop out.
But they borrowed somebody else's riff that I recognise.
Some people.
Oh, I like this. Oh, I'm going to get this on my Spotify.
Acid jazz, isn't it?
He sounds like he's got an afro, and I love an afro. Oh, yeah, and a big...
Acid jazz,
and
man.
And a big... I'm seeing him with a stripy jumper.
Absolutely.
A bit like Dennis the Menace.
Yeah.
And then big hair, afro.
You're thinking of Mungo Jerry, aren't you?
Yeah. Maybe a spliff, even.
Yeah, no, this is some of the...
Cruise too far. When you mess with your mind that you've gone beyond a reasonable doubt. Part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk.
Does your business have great customer service? Are you a successful small or large business? Are you creative or innovative? Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout them out. So what's stopping you? Enter the Kent Business Awards now. Get your easy-to-complete application form from businessawardskent.co.uk.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Hey, tune in, turn on, cop out, freak power, 100% acid jazz,
love
baby. That was a cool track, wasn't it?
I love that. And, yeah. And actually, I did love Mungo Jerry. I used to love Mungo Jerry, but I've just got it on my Spotify.
You got it on what?
My Spotify.
Have you?
Yeah, I've just got what? It.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
You just downloaded it?
Yeah, while I ate my mince pie.
Cool. Okay, there you go.
I'm feeling very seasonal now.
Well, that was in honour of our first guest. Yeah?
Yeah.
Who seems to have left?
I don't know where he's rummaging.
He's hiding under the desk. Why is he hiding under the desk?
Reaching for the tissues. I've come off the back of a cold.
Yeah, yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the show our hugely good friend, Dazzle, Darren Wheel of Intune PR.
Always brings nice nibbles.
He does. Well, he brings all kinds of things to this show, and it's a pleasure to have him. And he very kindly stood in at the last minute when we were kind of let down by a guest. So, Darren, thank you so much for that. And he scraped himself off his sickbed to come and do this.
It was a pleasure scraping myself for you, Paul.
Thank you. So, Darren, thanks for joining us. First of all, just give us a quick overview of Intune PR, what it is you do and why you do it, and then I'm going to talk to you about some other stuff.
Okay. Intune PR, we do three things. One of them is we have various clients from all kinds of businesses and even music, and with them we come up with campaigns that really come from the heart of the people, but we can reflect them back and turn them into good words.
Right.
And then carry that through the media, through social media.
Okay.
With people we know. Likewise, words are very important to what I do, so copywriting.
Right.
You know, if you can't write a press release, for example, you shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And I also do a lot of outsource writing of websites, blogs, editorial in magazines, and the old media relations themselves, getting people in there.
Absolutely. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? As the need for written content grows almost exponentially, you know, for websites and social media posts and blogs, as you say, and articles and written columns, the quality seems to have gone down. Yes. Because most people seem to think they can do it themselves now when they don't really have a clue, you know, and they can't even spell properly and well, stuff like that.
I've often noticed, even in the broadsheets, that there are loads of typos. Loads of typos. Do you notice that?
Well, that's the Guardian special subject, isn't it? Typos.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. Which is why Private Eye was called them the Grooniad.
Don't nod, Darren.
Oh, yes, that's not very good for radio. No.
point of order, ladies and gentlemen, Darren agreed. no, absolutely. And you know, there's something like 2 trillion websites in the world, and all of them will need content of some kind, and a lot of them have really atrocious content, so the kind of skills that you're using and deploying out there more than ever are or should be in huge demand.
They most certainly are, and it's also the case that people are using AI tools increasingly for copywriting now.
I was going to ask you about that. Have you seen an impact of that yet? And what's your thoughts and feelings on it?
I've seen the impact is clearly a wide take-up. A lot of you people are using it for all sorts of purposes. Some of the writing can be quite good.
Yeah.
And frankly, it's only going to get better.
Yeah.
But two things. To quote Sarah Marsh Collins of Baby Monkey Digital Marketing, save the human. Frankly, it's not going to give you the connection to yourself or others you might get if you used authentic humanity. And secondly, I have a major advantage over any AI you can name. I can turn up and have a cup of coffee with you and learn about you and take down your actual words in a way that a machine is never going to do until it turns into an android.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. I've played around with AI just on a couple of blogs. And whilst it's quite clever, it is fairly predictable as well. And what I mean by that is it's quite easy to tell when something's been generated by AI because it's just a little bit, you know, formulaic.
Yes.
Should I say?
Yeah. Well, a little bit robotic.
I think it's going to learn its way around that one. It will tune itself into you. So it's going to be out at Paul Andrews in Paul Andrews sooner or later.
Oi, mush, have a listen to this. Got something to tell you, cock. That kind of thing, you mean?
Yeah, that'll be about it. Yes. Yeah. Cockney rhyming slang arrives in your things because it thinks that's what you're going to do next.
Yeah, absolutely. As somebody once said to me, I'm terrible. I'm absolutely terrible at writing stuff. And they said, just be natural. And I went, no, you wouldn't like that at all. It wouldn't get past the first edit, that.
Oh, no, you're an ideal client. You hate writing.
Exactly, yeah. So you do all of these things. And without being funny, there are some assumptions made that professions like public relations and writing for people would be affected badly by the rise of social media and AI and stuff like that. But I think the opposite. How do you feel?
I think that for, say, a business that wants to truly succeed in the long term, they need a 360-degree marketing strategy.
Yeah.
And that means that they need to cover content, they need to cover digital and social media, and they need to cover what some people regard as traditional forms of media as well, plus the more contemporary ones like your influencers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
If you miss some of those out, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of... I'm being a bit... obvious here, I suppose. But again, back in my day, if you hired a PR consultant, most of the time what they were trying to do is get you in the local newspaper. Yeah. But there aren't many local newspapers left. And if there are, nobody reads them. So what's your take on newsprint and where that's going, Darren?
I think
big question, I know,
it's been going down, but it will probably go up. And there are some titles that literally died previously that have revived, I think. Enemy may have done so in recent times.
Right, okay.
But then again, you look at things like the London Evening Standard, and it's like the London Evening Fish and Chip newspaper now, because... it wouldn't support much more. It's about 8, 10, 16 pages long.
Yeah.
Shadow of its former self.
Yeah.
But they're blending. They're doing the hybrid thing online and doing precisely what I said themselves. They're going into different avenues and keeping contemporary. The ones that work.
Yeah.
You know.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because, again, I'm old enough to have been a commuter 30 years ago. And back then, commuting from London, were two newspapers, the Evening Standard and the Evening News.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both of them were paid. Yeah. You had to buy them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And almost everybody getting on a train bought at least one, if not both, copies of those newspapers.
Yeah.
Every single night. As you say, they're free newspapers these days, along with Metro, which is the other one they give out at stations.
Yeah.
But you very rarely see many people even picking up the free copies now.
I do. I still pick up the free copy if I'm coming.
Yeah, well, you'd
home.
Have anything that was free, wouldn't
I
you,
would.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you do with it?
Read it.
Put your chips in it.
No, read it.
Okay.
Yeah, only free chips, of course.
Yeah. As newsprint has kind of. I was going to say dumbed down. I don't mean dumbed down. As it's kind of sunk in terms of its positioning, have you seen anything that you think is a replacement that has longevity?
Ooh, that's a really tricky question. Well, the replacement that has longevity is, not surprisingly, the stuff that's on the internet. So the Independent, for example, of course, is 100% online now.
iPaper or something, is it?
No, what was the Independent newspaper
is
entirely online.
Yeah.
So the ones that go that way would appear to be that. Podcasts, that's risen massively. I host one myself, the Bromley Buzz.
This is going to sound weird, as someone that owns a radio station, which is effectively a live podcast. I've not really ever got into podcasts. There's only a couple I listen to.
The fact is, with me, it's time. For me, it's time, because I'm not one of those people that marches along walking listening to them. I like to listen to the sea or,
having said that, one of the beauties of the spoken word is you can listen to it while you're doing something else.
Yeah, in the kitchen.
Yeah, you can't drive a car. Well, you probably could. You can't drive a car and read the newspaper. Yeah.
No.
You can't really drive a car and watch the television news.
Yeah, but I find if I listen to a podcast when I'm driving, it can distract you. Mm. Sometimes my brain is listening too much and I'm not actually, and I end up in Birmingham instead of Ashford.
It's why radio works best in a car. Yeah, despite what Ray Jar and all the others tell you, the vast majority of people that listen to radio listen to it in a car.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's because it's the only form of entertainment you can do reasonably safely in a car.
Yeah. Apart from drafts or chess, you know, I mean, that's a given. But podcasts have become hugely popular. I mean, anyone can do a podcast now, can't they?
Even Darren.
140 episodes of Bromley Buzz and counting.
Yeah, yeah. Bromley Buzz.
But I'll tell you, you're talking about the demise of media or its reinvention on the print side. Mm. There is something, actually, which a lot of people forget in the wider thing about marketing and about the accessibility of social media. And it's a simple one. You can do tons and tons of social media. But if you get someone in a major newspaper saying something nice about you, you build reputation overnight in a way that the social media would struggle ever to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, Enterprise Nation called me a master storyteller for business. That's a nice body doing it. Mm. Positive News, my favourite magazine in the world, literally quoted me about positivity and all of its page 3 a couple of months ago.
Okay.
I've got somebody... I ghostwrote a letter that ended up in the Sunday Times.
Right.
So being able to say, featured in the Sunday Times, Ian here, Daily Express, likewise, even if it's online size, you catch the reputation of the channel, and the print papers may not have as many pages in it, but they've still got a name.
I mean,
absolutely.
I'm a little biased because obviously Darren does work for me, but I also think social media, it's updating every second of every day. It's so easy to actually miss things when you're printed in something. You know, you struggle to be missed. Whereas on social media, if you don't go on it for 2 hours, you can quite easily miss some pretty major stories.
Absolutely. And even if you tag someone and send them a picture of mushrooms, they don't always see it.
Oh, because Elon is shadow banning me. I don't see anyone.
No, it's not you. It's everyone. It's because they've got this for you and followers rubbish.
Yeah, that's
the problem.
I had a client once, Darren, who a big baker, and she only wanted the Daily Mail. That was all she wanted because she knew what it would do to her business. So I got her in the Daily Mail, and bang, that was all she needed. It was amazing. But she was very targeted on what she wanted. She didn't want scatter. She just wanted the Daily Mail.
It's interesting. Quite a few years ago. And it was quite a few years ago, I invested in a startup business, which was an online newspaper before such things actually existed. It was a thing called Civic Boom, and it was supposed to be about...
I remember that, yeah.
You remember?
Yeah.
It was supposed to be about civic journalism, so there were no professional journalists, it was people putting up their own stories and stuff like that. And as part of my investment, I just did an investigation, because it's not my business, and it's not something that I was familiar with. I did an investigation of the whole newspaper magazine marketplace, and I was absolutely stunned when I came across some numbers, because the first thing that became apparent was the collapse of newspaper circulation, which everybody was fairly familiar with, because, you know, we were starting to move away from newspapers and move towards online, and all of the big papers were starting to hemorrhage sales. So that didn't surprise me. What did surprise me is where the big sellers were and still are 25 years later, which is specialist magazines. And I don't mean dodgy, mucky ones either. Yeah. The biggest selling magazines in the United Kingdom were Carp World. Yeah, a fishing magazine.
I've picked it up myself.
Yeah. And Air Gunner. Very, very highly targeted niche magazines that had hundreds of thousands of monthly subscribers. And of course, the whole beauty of a niche magazine like that is that every advertiser was in front of 100% of their potential marketplace. So that kind of really... inspired me to just look around the market, something I've continued to do, and I still see quite a big market for magazines, whereas newsprint, not so much.
Well, it's interesting. If you look at niche magazines, as it were, so you've got ones that are produced by associations. So you've got a magazine produced by the Federation of Small Business,
yep.
Been in that.
Yeah.
Startup magazine, being on their online side. But at a local level, and you talked about local earlier on as well, people are still, as advertisers as much as anything else, in love with a glossy magazine.
Yeah.
Mm. So half of the editorial I've been writing lately has actually been for Chislehurst Life, which doubles up at Tunbridge Wells and other Kentish locations as well.
Right.
And it impresses the businesses that it is got high production values.
Mm.
And people still love that. So aspects of print and the perception that some of these titles end up in the hands of people who have the deep enough pockets to employ your services as a plumber, as a roofer, whatever it is, that perception's still out there,
yeah.
In the business community.
Yeah. And you're quite right as well. I mean, I've been talking to a couple of magazine producers about advertising some of our co-working spaces in Tenston. And it is interesting because there is a lifespan as well. Quite a few of the glossy magazines. We have a local magazine in the Weald of Kent called the Weald and Times, which is a very glossy magazine. And the thing about that is it's a monthly magazine, but its lifespan is more like 7 or 8 months because copies of that end up in every dentist waiting room, every Indian takeaway, every Chinese takeaway, and people sit there while they're waiting for their food and read them. Yeah. Some of them are months and months old, but they still will sit there and read them again. So if you advertised in it, your advertising is going to be seen a lot longer than the sell-by date of the magazine.
Yeah, there's a balance to be struck as well, because there's a whole number of these titles. There's people like Kent Life, Inside Kent,
yeah.
MMM,
yeah.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. and so on. But if you take the Weald and Times, there's a lot of pages.
Mm. Mm.
So, yeah, if you get one out of there, that's fine. But people are looking for a needle in a haystack by comparison.
Yeah.
If you go after, for example, say Absolutely, and it has that smaller number of pages, but it's in the same place, the percentage chance of someone picking up, yep. on you and what you're doing are great.
Yeah.
But, and this is the thing, advertiser-wise, the gold standard for me is if you can get editorial with it as well. Because
yeah.
I don't know about you two, three, but my eyes glaze over an advert.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
Mm. Find me a decent title with a real catch to it, the kind of thing that copywriters like me write,
yeah.
and you then start to read on and get sucked in, and maybe you'll come out and remember the person who's advertising.
Mm. Absolutely.
And positioning, of course, though, you know, you ideally want to be right side if you can, and near the front if you can, and all that malarkey too.
Very true.
I would call what you just said advertorial.
Correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some magazines claim they don't do it. I don't really understand why they wouldn't do it. Well, you know, because effectively everything they write is promoting something. Otherwise, why would you write it? I think advertorial can be incredibly important as a way forward.
It's quite funny, as a copywriter, it was just occurring to me. Do you remember the old cartoon character, Mr. Ben?
Yeah, yeah.
Who would go into a clothes shop and then change into a different outfit.
Yeah.
Well, my version of Mr. Ben, I've been a roofer, a property maintenance guy, a project manager, a flooring company, a groomers and a canine store, and an estate agent, all in the last few days.
Very talented, aren't you?
Yeah.
I have a lot of hats.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, here's a question, Dazzle. Yeah. Mm. What's the favourite part of your job? What do you enjoy doing the most?
Anything that makes a positive difference to a recipient. And it doesn't actually matter whether it's a paying client or a non-one, or it's a pro bono thing.
Right.
So I've done a little bit of paid work and a lot more pro bono with a local resident in Orpington, Bromley, Sumit Jalan. So in the last few days, and he's been a guest on this show.
Yeah, yep.
He did the big jalebi charity ball and auction.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And brought together over 200 people, 40% of them not from an Indian background, which is something that he considered important, to celebrate Diwali.
Yeah.
Ahead of it actually being celebrated by everyone else. It was just the most awesome evening of happiness and glitz and glamour and all these people dressing up in stuff they wouldn't normally. Mm. And Ian was there as well.
Yeah, it was a great evening. Yeah,
with a lot of people following the group.
I had a black tie, yeah, very much so. Got myself dressed up,
yeah.
So didn't go for the Indian outfit.
And Ian got seriously danced at by my good friend Zina.
Lots. Well. Okay. I didn't participate in any dancing.
No, by the way, Sumi as well. My God, that man's got some moves, and he was wearing a pink turban on the day as well. He was absolutely awesome.
Right. But and what was the food? Because the food was a Michelin star chef.
It was brilliant.
Peter Joseph, a Michelin star chef from Central London.
Yeah.
How do you actually do good quality hot food of any description to over 200 people at once?
Exactly.
He pulled it off.
Yeah.
They made me do Bukhari dancing the last time I went to a Diwali evening.
I've got a folder for you, Paul, where I put stuff to do, a business bunker and things, as you do with any good media channel. Mm. And in honour of your tutu experience from the distant past, it's a pink one.
Oh, thank you.
Talking of pink and other assorted colours, I'd like to give a shout out to the contemporary Indian dancers on that night, Bolly Red.
Right.
Bollywood Red, I think. They were absolutely fantastic.
So I wasn't there. I wasn't there to lead them.
I'll show you some pics after.
The event was missing wonderful. You.
Yeah, I'm
you
sure.
You would have led it.
Yeah, yeah.
Assume it will be back with more big Jalebi events next year. So sweet. April, I think he's actually penciled in the 10th of November for Diwali next
year. Yeah.
Cool. Good stuff. I just want to finish off with you, Darren. Who are you working with at the moment?
You.
Oh, yeah. and what are you doing?
Well, I've actually started something, and this is going to cut across co-working spaces across Southeast London and Kent, because what I've discovered is that no two co-working spaces are really alike.
No, they're not. You're right.
And the second thing is, it seems to me there's a huge education thing out there.
Yeah.
So 80% of new businesses go bust inside a year.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of reasons for that. I think one of them is the fact that they're not doing it in the right place.
Yeah.
So the co-working spaces where you can go out of your home, out of the distractions, not being given a lift, not having grandma saying that she wants a cup of tea, whatever it is, and being able to meet people in isolation or meet people you've not met before, and just to concentrate, it gives you so much better headspace.
Mm.
And from the person that's got a side hustle for the solopreneur upwards to the people who's building a corporation, it's like part of the journey. And if that's better spelt out and people are directed to Ironworks in Sheerness, which, as we've already said, is one heck of a cool space, and others like it. It is the future. It's the hybrid style of business life, in the same way that the blend of social media, online, podcast and so on is great for media. Mm. It's like elixir for the human spirit.
Absolutely. And you know, it is a strange thing, isn't it? But, the massive benefit, one of the massive benefits, and there are quite a few, of co-working spaces, and you are right, every single co-working space, even the three I own, are all radically different. But the fact is that it's not just a workspace, it's also a networking space. But it's like a permanent networking space. It's not like having to give up and go to a meeting for an hour. When you're working with 50 other businesses, there's always people you can collaborate with. And one of the things we found in Freeworks in Canterbury, which has been going the longest for 14 years, is just how many businesses end up doing business with each other within the room that they're all based in, either as clients or as collaborators.
Well, here's a live PR brief.
Mm.
As a reminder, you're going on Zeenat Nirali's Mindset Matters show on Friday because she has been broadcasting for years about mental health, well-being, mindset.
Mm.
You actually have provided venues which are a catalyst for the business person, an antidote for loneliness for the business person, a means of bringing them together.
Mm.
You are literally, even though you may not realise it, in the mental health business, so it's such a fit.
Okay. I think he's just briefing me for my appearance on the show on Friday there, do you?
I've never done that before.
Thank you for that, Darren. I wonder what I was going to talk about. No, absolutely. one of the whole points, certainly with our co-working spaces, is we try to build a sense of community. So it also feeds into something else that you've been doing that I quickly want to touch on before we move on to the news, which is Let's Talk Better. Just give us a little few words about that.
In short, it's about helping humans at a local level in Bromley, where Zenat, who founded it with me, and I can make a difference and hold events and things like this to enable people to have better conversations. Mm. Those conversations can range from being more open about things which are taboo, either within your families and friendship groups or beyond, through to looking out for and sharing better, more positive news so that people don't run away from the news channels anymore, and even things as serious as the taboos around suicide and contemplating it, sexual abuse, menstruation, any of those things.
Menopause,
thank you. That's a lot of what it's about. Mm. And we've had three events now, and the difference each has made to the people in that room and the example is set beyond has been mildly staggering, in actual fact. And we've been supported by three mayors of Bromley. Gareth Bacon, MP for Orpington, came and spoke at the last one. And we're looking forward to our first anniversary, 22nd of February next year. Mm.
Mm-hmm. I came along to the first one? Or the second one? Can't remember. Second one.
Was it in the Copper Salon Sri Lankan restaurant?
No.
That was the first one.
No.
Community House.
It was in Community House. That was the second one, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I came along to the second one, which is really interesting. Food was still good, though. It's just such an interesting concept, though, isn't it? That we still, in the 21st century, have to allow people to speak, if you see what I mean. We have to give them a reason to communicate. We have to say, it's okay for you to tell us how you feel. And I just find that's a bit weird that, you know, we're still having to say to people, you have the right to speak, you have the right to say how you feel, you have the right to be heard.
Well, when people say, how are you, generally we all go, I'm fine, how are you?
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like a hello.
Yeah, although, but you also don't want the other side of it. Well, how are you? You go, cool, let me tell you, love, I'm thinking of topping myself because my life, you know, because people just walk away from that.
Yeah.
So it is having a safe place and the right place in which to unload how you feel. Yeah, rather than just bumping into someone on a bus and telling them you feel, you know, menopausal or whatever.
I think the word to involve here is, and yes, it's the right place and the right time for things, but if we can normalise some of these things which have been brushed under the carpet for a long time, I will take, it's not a primary thing amongst what we're doing, but I worked for a while with an influencer in the sexual abuse field. One of the least talked about things, unless you want to associate it with the Roman Catholic Church, unfortunately for that church. But it is widespread in families. A major cause of calls to Samaritans is because of sexual abuse there and elsewhere amongst intimate groups of people. And were that talked about more openly, instead of having an average age of, I think, something like 26 years before anyone comes out with it at all, if they do, having it come down to 20 years, 15 years, 10 years, 5 years, think of the unharm that can be done.
Yeah,
I've just invented a word. That's terrible copywriting.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's not talked about, because it's not prevalent, because it's not out there, when it happens to people, they think it's just them.
Mm.
Yeah, and therefore it's their fault, and therefore they don't tell anyone. If you understand how rife it is and what the signs are and how it's unacceptable, then people will have the strength and the courage to stand up sooner. Hopefully.
Well, I'll give people, to end on a positive perhaps, again, I allude to the quarterly magazine Positive News, which thunks through my door once a quarter with good journalism about good things written on the cover. It literally cheers me up. And the last few days I've taken to reading one story a day out of that, or the online sign-up newsletter you can get.
I don't know that.
It helps.
I don't know that magazine. Is it a local magazine?
No, it's a national. You get it in Smith's and all the rest of it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll read you a couple of titles, okay?
Yeah.
So, let me see. Spain's latest defence against wildfires,
right.
Wild horses, some relief for the Amazon, Ecuadorians vote to just stop oil, wind-powered shipping is back. What else have we got here? The Golden Age of Medicine. Sewing up our futures. A repair centre run by refugees is helping Amsterdam become one of the finest circular cities. There is good news out there. There's a good newsletter The Guardian puts out on email as well. There's the Smiley Movement, which you can find on Twitter. We are a nation of moaners. Right. It has been said, not just by me.
Right.
We would be less so if we could connect to some of this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Darren, as always, it's been fantastic talking to you. Thank you so much. Give us a shout out for InTunes website so that people can come along and partake in your words.
InTunePR.co.uk.
Fantastic. Dazzle, thank you so much for that, mate. It's absolutely brilliant. Do stay with us. We're going to join the newsroom shortly. I think we've got about a minute to catch up on some of these things that have come in. Martin Reeves of Collector's Buddy said, would love a Business Bunker shout out, please. It's gorgeous outside and you guys are on the radio. I'd also like to give a shout out to all the staff at Bupa UK Warren Lodge Ashford who are caring for my mum, who is 88 on Friday the 20th of November. They are epic. Well done, Bupa Warren Lodge. Happy birthday, Mrs. Reeves, on Friday the 10th. That's this Friday.
How marvellous. And Sarah Marsh Collins has tweeted, or she's ex-twittered. She says, Paul and I, as a photo, are at the second Let's Talk Better 3 event earlier this year. That's Let's Talk Better 3 on the ex-Twitter. And Jules Serkin was on holidays.
Yeah, again.
Was I? Was I? Yeah. A little paella. Yeah. Some carver. So she sent a lovely photo. And Sarah looking very fetching in orange, I must say. And then Zeenat Narani of Mindset Matters says, really interesting discussions and what truly matters, and this is why I do what I do. And you can find Zeenat on Zeenat Narani with an underscore in the middle.
Cool. Sarah Marsh Collins also said, there's a great lineup on the Business Bunker show today. Ian's business journey is quite the tale, and we're going to hear about that later on. He's a remarkable young man. We did read this earlier, but I want to read it again. Dazzle has some cracking PR takes to tell you. See, because I read it better than her.
Yes, much better. Yeah. And then Sarah Marsh Collins has put up some photographs of everybody looking very glam at the Big Jalebi Diwali event. And, of course, the chef, as Darren said, is from Kahani in London, modern Indian cuisine, and the chef is Peter Joseph. Mm. So it's a place I shall go and try that out in London. Yeah. Whereabouts in London, I wonder? Big place, London.
Is it?
The food looks good, yeah.
Oh, right.
I'm going to go on the website.
Okay, I'm just catching up by retweeting here.
Yeah, but Twitter's gone mad.
Yeah. Tracy Ferguson says, completely agree with Darren and Sarah. Cool.
Well, that's all right. That's all we need.
Yeah. Tracy also says, the Diwali event looked amazing, Darren. I saw the photos and you all look really amazing. What a wonderful thing to do for the community. Absolutely. Cool.
Wayne Cunnington, I know, is listening, so hello to him. I'm trolling through all this now. Oh, Zeenat Narani Mindset said earlier, good afternoon, my loony tunes. Here's to a great Tuesday show with you and super guests in Tune PR and Ian Will Property. And that's only just popped up on my screen.
Cool. Tracy Ferguson said, apropos of our conversation just now, Darren, we picked up the Metro, the free paper, on the Underground last week on our way to the airport. She said, read it in inverted commas in a few minutes. The only thing I enjoyed was the puzzles page. It's amazing. I used to buy the London Evening Standard just to do the word game and the crossword puzzle on the way home on the train. Cool. Right. Oh, blimey. So we're getting a bit inundated with tweets, which is lovely.
Yeah.
We're going to join the newsroom shortly. When we come back, we've got another fantastic guest to talk to. We're going to talk to Mr. Ian Wood, who's a property expert. We'll hear some more nonsense from Jules, no doubt, and other stuff. But for the moment, let's go over to the newsroom.
Yes, shall more
we?
Mince pies, you know, here.
Oh, you're still scoffing, are
not
you?
Not for right, long.
Yes. I've counted. There's still three left, I think. Or maybe two.
Is there?
We'll get them done in a minute.
How many did they start with?
Two left. Well, there's six.
Six.
But I came late to the party.
And if there's anyone listening, I haven't had any.
No, Amanda.
Right. I can actually verify this unusually.
Yes, but I've got to squeeze into...
Sorry, it's unusual that I'm verifying it, not unusual that...
I haven't eaten any.
I've got to squeeze into an evening dress.